In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In today's Gospel, John the Baptist says of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." This title, Lamb of God, has become so familiar to us and is so prominent in our liturgy that we may easily take it for granted. But the phrase Lamb of God was not a common one in ancient Israel. In fact, time here, near the beginning of the Gospel, according to St. John. What did John the Baptist mean by calling Jesus the Lamb of God? How would his disciples have understood the phrase? The lamb is, of course, one of the staples of the Middle Eastern diet. But in biblical times, the vast majority of people ate meat only on special occasions, at weddings, at feasts, and on holy days. In the Old Testament, the lamb is most frequently mentioned as a sacrificial victim. We recall especially the Passover sacrifice, in which the victim must be a year-old male without blemish, and it was slaughtered on the evening before the Passover. Some of its blood was to be sprinkled on the doorposts and lintels of the houses, so that the angel of death would pass over them. And the lamb was to be roasted and eaten with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. We recall, too, that the Last Supper, at which our Eucharist was instituted, was a Passover-type meal. And we see many of the same elements, the hand washings, the offertory prayers, the unleavened bread, the wine, incorporated into our holy sacrifice of the Mass. And as Pope Benedict has noted, there is no opposition between the concepts of meal and sacrifice. They belong inseparably together in the new sacrifice of the Lord. But the lamb is not only a symbol of feasting and of sacrifice. It is also a symbol of innocence. In the book of Isaiah, in the fourth servant song, which is perhaps the greatest of the Old Testament predictions of the Messiah, we read, "We had all gone astray like sheep, each one taking his own way, and the Lord brought the guilt of us all upon him. Ill-treated and afflicted, he never opened his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughterhouse, like a sheep before its shearers, he never opened his mouth." And in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet says, "I, for my part, was like a trustful lamb, being led to the slaughterhouse, not knowing the schemes they were plotting against me. Let us destroy the tree in its strength. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name may no longer be remembered." And there is also the lamb in the parable which Nathan the prophet told to King David. "There were two men in the same town, one rich and one poor. The rich man had flocks and herds in great abundance. The poor man had nothing but a single ewe lamb. He cherished it, and it grew up with him and his children, eating his bread and drinking from his cup, sleeping in his arm. It was like a daughter to him. And one day a visitor came to stay with the rich man, but he would not take anything from his own flocks or herds. Instead, he stole the poor man's lamb and slaughtered that for his guest." These images of innocence and of pathos help give a further dimension to our understanding of the Lamb of God. Jesus was an innocent victim who sacrificed himself for us and for our salvation. And yet, while his death is a cause of profound sorrow, it is also, in an even deeper way, a cause of joy and gratitude. For by his sacrifice, we are made able to share in that eternal wedding banquet in the kingdom of heaven. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the delights God has prepared for those who love him. And so, just before communion, after we have asked the Lamb of God to have mercy on us and to grant us peace, the celebrant holds up the consecrated host and repeats the words of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. And then he adds, blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.